Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 8th of March 2025. This is Andrew and your other readers are Jane, Graham and Anjana. The editor this week is Mary. Most of our members of Team 4 and we welcome Anjana this week who is one of our relief readers. Much of our news is taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. And all telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442, unless stated otherwise. The headlines this week are: debts due, County Council owed more than £50 million in overdue debts, rough sleeping on the rise, students' Caribbean workshops, and storm bounce back in style. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, my name is Jane. Liberal Democrat Councillor Tim Williams has called on the County Council to ensure that debts are collected correctly and in a timely manner, as latest data shows the Council is owed more than £50 million in overdue debts. Speaking as councillors met to determine the County Council's 2025-26 budget on Tuesday 25th February, Councillor Williams highlighted the level of debt. In calling for a review of fees and payments to be brought forward as part of the Liberal Democrat budget proposals, Councillor Williams pointed to the need for timely collection. He suggested the debt was currently costing the council £5 million a year in interest payments. As indicated in the Conservative budget, there is scope for a review of fees and charges, and we would bring this proposal forward by a year, he told the meeting of the full council. And whilst on fees and charges and the debts it creates that are actually owed to the council, we need to ensure that this debt is collected correctly and in a timely fashion. Cash is king, and it's currently showing a debt of £98 million owed to the council, with over £50 million being overdue by more than a month. This debt is costing £5 million a year in interest.
Hello, I'm Graham. More about the debt. According to the monitoring report, the majority of the debt outstanding for 9 months or longer, £29.9 million, is related to adult care services contributions. The monitor report says these debts can be challenging and complex and need to be handled sensitively, which the report says can take some time to resolve. Large proportions of this amount relate to care-related debt that is secured against a person's home, with additional debt awaiting probate to be granted, says the report. The remainder continues to be chased. There is also debt over 9 months overdue that relates to invoices with health partners, where regular discussions take place to resolve any outstanding issues. The adult care services debt position and processes are reviewed regularly at both operational and strategic debt boards within the service. According to the report, collection of these debts has improved compared to the same period in 2023-24. And it says there are a number of people paying for instalments, which it says will take some time to impact on overall levels of debt. According to the data, of those debts that are outside their payment terms, £7.1 million is less than a month overdue, and £6 million is between 1 and 3 months overdue. A further £13.6 million is between 3 and 9 months overdue. The County Council has been approached for comment.
Hello, this is Anjana. Several people were sleeping rough on the streets of Decorum last autumn, estimates show. The government's Everyone In campaign aimed to eliminate homelessness and provided thousands of people with accommodation during the coronavirus pandemic. But numbers across England have soared following the pandemic, rising for the third successive year. Each year, the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government conducts a national snapshot survey of rough sleeping on a specific night in autumn. The results published this week found there were 7 people sleeping rough in Decorum in line with the year before. However, this was higher than in 2021 when the government's Everyone In program was implemented, when there were 5. Nationally, the number of people estimated to be sleeping rough rose by 20% last year to 4,667. This is the second highest level on record and almost twice the total in 2021. The count includes people sleeping outside, but does not cover sofa surfers, those in hostels or shelters, or people in recreational or traveller sites, and the figures are generally considered to be an undercount of the true number. Matt Downey, chief executive of homelessness charity Crisis, said the figures paint a desperate picture, with thousands at risk of violence, extreme weather, and even premature death. It's an emergency and it must spur action, he said. The Westminster government has a once-in-a-generation opportunity to deliver transformative change through its upcoming strategy to end homelessness. Nationally, the number of women sleeping rough has increased by 20% since last year, from 568 to 680, although none were in decorum. Polly Nate, chief executive of housing charity Shelter, said, "It is unacceptable that homelessness continues to rocket when the government has the power to end it entirely." She added, "If the government is serious about tackling the housing emergency, we must see ambitious investment in social housing in June's spending review. Investing in 90,000 social rent homes a year for 10 years would give families a fighting chance and end homelessness for good." Minister for Homelessness Rushnara Ali said, "We're taking determined action to turn the tide, and that's why this week this government stepped in to double our emergency homelessness funding to £60 million as an immediate support for councils to keep people in their homes."
A group of 24 senior students from Tring Park School for the Performing Arts, which boasts alumni such as Joe Griffiths Brown, Drew McConey, Ella Henderson, Jordan Shaw, Bart Edwards, and Hollywood stars Lily James and Daisy Ridley, travelled to St. Kitts and Nevis in the Caribbean during half term to perform two plays and hold a series of workshops in schools and other locations around the islands. This is the first trip of its kind and was organised at the request of the High Commissioner to St. Kitts and Nevis in London, who, having seen a group of students from the school perform his poetry so successfully at the University of Hertfordshire, suggested they visit the islands to promote the performing arts and work with children in primary and secondary schools. Lionel Wallace, the former High Sheriff of Hertfordshire, and Edward Applewhite, the school's head of drama and director of the acting course, worked with the Ministry of Education in St. Kitts and Nevis to create a full programme across the week, covering various aspects of drama, including improvisation, stage presence, and script interpretation. Through interactive sessions, participants gained hands-on experience and valuable insights into the world of the performing arts. The students, all on the acting course at Tring Park School, worked with 16 schools who were able to watch performances, including the highly successful Theatre in Education play, Jack and the Catalysts, which was also performed around local primary schools in Hertfordshire before Christmas. Dance was also a focus of the visit, with seven local dance academies attending workshops led by Olivia Pickford, former principal of the Royal Ballet and current member of the dance department at Tring Park School. The team were joined by Triple Threat performer and teacher Chloe Lindsay, current member of the acting department.
Members of a gang based in Hertfordshire running a sophisticated drug smuggling operation have been convicted. They used a small aircraft to drop cocaine packages in the Dorset Countryside Counter-Terrorism Policing Group Eastern Region Special Operations Unit, ERSOU, has revealed. Members of the gang that also had a base in Essex used a car wash business as a front for criminal activity, which involved a plane flying from France and jettisoning the parcels for collection. Four members of the organised crime group, OCG, have now been convicted after Thomas Boza, 44, of Colson Road, Loughton in Essex, was found guilty following a trial at St Albans Crown Court. it was discovered by the police that the group was communicating with contacts abroad to bring in the drugs, with flights leaving from the Cherbourg area of northern France. A spokesperson for the regional crime unit has revealed that planes would intentionally avoid radar systems and disable transponders.
To continue the previous item, police officers recorded at least three instances when flights were made to southern England before immediately returning to France. Each time, either Rolandus Bowser, 47, also of Coulson Road, Loughton, or associate Martinus Pisa, 37, of Hulse Lane, Faxted, drove to the same location and were waiting to collect the parcels. Arjan Lizage, 33, of Barrelsdown Road, Bishop Stortford, who worked at the car wash, made up the quartet. He was arrested in September 2024 alongside Rolandus Bowser and Pisa, a short distance from the site in Spelbrook, Hertfordshire. When arrested by ERSOU, Rolandus was found in possession of £37,000 in cash, with officers also retrieving a phone which Lesage had thrown into a stream as police arrived. 2-kilogram-sized blocks of cocaine were subsequently discovered in an office during a search of the car wash. The spokesperson added that simultaneously, ERSOU detectives raided the home address of the Bowser brothers in Loughton, where Thomas was located and detained. A search of the property uncovered 54 kilograms of cocaine in 2 holdalls stored in the loft. According to police data, the combined cocaine packages were judged to have a street value of £4.2 million.
Continuing with the previous item, detectives found that in the days prior to the shipment being flown into the UK, the Bowser brothers had travelled to Dorset to explore potential drop sites. A piece of paper found inside the packaging of one of the cocaine parcels, which contained Thomas Bowser's fingerprints, also became key evidence. Searches of vehicles associated with the group also identified an aviation radio and papers with sets of drop-off coordinates, ERSOU revealed. Detectives examined digital devices post-arrest and found a video on Pisa's phone showing him examining and unwrapping a cocaine package which matched those later seized at the car wash. After being apprehended, all four were charged with being concerned in the importation and the supply of controlled drugs into the UK. Lesage and Pacia previously admitted the offences, with Rolandus Bowser also pleading guilty at the start of a trial. Thomas Bowser was found guilty of supplying controlled drugs following a trial. The jury found that Thomas Bowser was not guilty of the importation charge. All four are due to be sentenced at St. Albans Crown Court on 4th of August.
And now, this week in history. On March the 6th, 1988, 3 IRA terrorists were shot dead by SAS men in Gibraltar. On this day last year, scientists uncovered what they believed to be the world's oldest fossil forest, dating back 390 million years in the high sandstone cliffs along the Devon and Somerset coast. On March the 7th, 1965, state troopers and local law enforcement assaulted 600 civil rights marchers in Selma, Alabama, United States. The event was dubbed Bloody Sunday. On this day last year, Sweden formally joined NATO as the 32nd member of the Transatlantic Military Alliance, ending decades of post-Second World War neutrality as concerns about Russian aggression spiked after the invasion of Ukraine. On March the 8th, 1983, US President Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union an evil empire. On March the 9th, 1956, Britain deported Archbishop Makarios from Cyprus for actively fostering terrorism. On March the 10th, 1914, the Rokeby Venus by Velazquez in London's National Gallery was damaged by suffragettes. And on this day last year, an Australian shepherd dog named Viking was crowned best in show in the 2024 Crufts Dog Show in the NEC in Birmingham.
Police officers are looking for a man who tried to rob a couple on an underpass in Hemel Hempstead. A couple were approached by a man who threatened them with a knife at the underpass on St Albans Road near to the junction for Longlands. This attempted robbery took place between 6:20 and 6:35 p.m. on Thursday, February 20th. During the incident, the man demanded they hand over money. According to witness reports, the offender ran away via St Albans Road and towards Rant Meadow. He has been described as 5'10", olive-skinned, aged between 20 and 30 years old, and of muscular heavy build. He was also reportedly wearing a black and grey hoodie with a dark-coloured scarf snood. PC Sarah Scanlon from the Decorum Local Crime Unit said, "Our inquiries are continuing and I am urging anyone with information to please come forward. Thankfully, no one was injured and nothing was stolen. If you saw what happened or have any further information to assist our investigation, please email me via Sarah with an H dot Scanlon, S-C-A-N-L-O-N, at hearts.police.uk. Hertfordshire Constabulary is asking anyone with dashcam footage from the area of the attempted robbery to use its online portal. Information can also be reported to the police force online via its web chat or by calling the non-emergency number 101, quoting reference crime reference number 41/166641/25. Residents can also report details to the independent charity Crime Stoppers online or by calling 0800 555 111.
A move to invest an additional £1 million in the repair of shallower potholes across the county failed this week when councillors met to set the County Council's budget for 2025-26 this week. Currently, potholes in Hertfordshire have to be in excess of 50 millimetres deep in order to qualify as a so-called Category 1 repair by the County Council. But on Tuesday, 25th of February, Labour councillors called for a £1 million trial that would reduce that minimum depth by 20% to 40 millimetres. Presenting the Labour amendment to the Conservative budget, Councillor Ian Albert said that the Conservative administration had failed residents on potholes. And welcoming additional funding from the government for roads and pothole repairs, he put forward the proposal to trial a 40 millimetre repair criteria. He said the £1 million cost of the trial had to be obtained from council officers, but suggested that, in his view, it could cost less, and that as a long-term initiative, it would save the county money. But the proposal was slammed by the Conservative Executive Member for Highways and Transport, Councillor Phil Bibby, who suggested it would be irresponsible to invest in a trial to reduce intervention levels without a commitment to continue for years 2, 3 and 4 and beyond. In a further amendment, Liberal Democrat councillors had also called for a trial so that where a pothole did qualify for repair, other smaller potholes nearby would be fixed at the same time.
Continuing the budget story, Councillor Giles Medhurst said the council faced more than 1,000 insurance claims from motorists a year, spending £250,000 on insurance claims. But, he said, the council's immediate response was to deny responsibility, not even checking if a pothole was there until a claim was made. And, he said, this is abhorrent, quite frankly, and it is not the way we should be treating Hertfordshire residents. In response to the Liberal Democrat proposal, Councillor Bibby said that a trial where multiple repairs, so-called Category 1s and Category 2s, were completed at the same time would cost extra and would tie up crews. And he pointed to the zero funding allocation that had been made to it as part of the Liberal Democrat amendment. Backing the highways element of the County Council's budget proposals, Councillor Bibby said the council was well placed for the next year and beyond. And he said, the condition of Hertfordshire roads is consistently above average compared to national statistics, and we are amongst the best in the Southeast region. Within that, he said, £60 million would be used to increase focus on Cat 1 defects, which he said were increasing with the extreme weather conditions. Overall, the County Council set a services budget of £1.18 billion for 2025-2026 at the meeting. Liberal Democrat and Labour amendments were rejected by the meeting of the full council.
Decorum dealt with a record number of fly tipping incidents last year, new figures show. It comes as a record 1.15 million fly tipping incidents were reported across England last year, with Environment Secretary Steve Reid pledging to punish rubbish dumpers. Figures from the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs show 2,059 fly tipping incidents were reported in Decorum in the year to March 2024, up from 1,609 the year before. It was the highest level since comparable local records began in 2019-2020. The national number of fly tipping incidents last year jumped by 6% and reached the highest figure since 2018-19. The most common place for fly tipping to occur was on pavements and roads, accounting for 37% of incidents. Meanwhile, some 60% of cases involved household waste, ranging from black bags of waste to the contents of shed clearances, furniture, and carpets. Fly tipping in Decorum was most common on council land, 60%, while household waste accounted for 71% of the illegally dumped rubbish reports. Mr. Reid said fly tipping is a disgraceful act which trashes communities and its increase is unacceptable. Communities and businesses shouldn't have to put up with these crimes. He pledged the government will crack down on fly tipping and punish rubbish dumpers, forcing them to clean up their own mess. He said the new crime and policing bill gives ministers the power to issue statutory guidance to councils to drive up fly tipping enforcement. The DEFRA figures also reveal a slight drop in the number of enforcement actions, with fixed penalty notices dropping 5% to 63,300 fines last year. This includes 26 notices issued in Decorum. But Adam Hugg, environment spokesman for the Local Government Association, said, "Councils are working tirelessly to counter the thousands of incidents every year and are determined to crack down on the problem." He warned the penalties from prosecution failed to match the severity of the offences committed. "We continue to urge the government to review sentencing guidelines for fly tipping so that offenders are given bigger fines for more serious offences to act as a deterrent," he said. Manufacturers should also contribute to the cost to councils of clear-up by providing more take-back services so people can hand in sofas, old furnitures and mattresses when they buy new ones.
Police officers have closed off a property in Tring where suspected drug deals and Class A use is suspected to have taken place. Members of the public are banned from entering a property in 8 acres for a period of 3 months. This property is subject to a closure order and anyone caught inside the site will be committing a criminal offence and faces arrest. Hertfordshire Constabulary says it received numerous reports of drug and antisocial behaviour issues linked to the address. The police force was informed that Class A drug deals and threatening behaviour and weapons had been spotted at the property. Police officers obtained 2 warrants to raid the property twice in just 6 months. Contraband suspected to be Class A drugs were taken from the property. One arrest was made in connection with the searches, and that investigation remains open, the police force has revealed. Hertfordshire Constabulary's closure order was approved at St Albans Magistrates Court on February 25th. Community Safety Sergeant for Decorum, Chris Bignall, said the activity linked to the address was having a hugely detrimental effect on the local community, many of whom were living in fear. "We've worked to gather the necessary evidence and intelligence to close the address and provide some much-needed respite to residents. I hope this reassures the public that we do take action in these circumstances and serves as a warning to anyone involved in crime and antisocial behaviour that we will not hesitate to seek these orders and remove people from their homes where they are causing constant misery for others. If you have information about crime and antisocial behaviour in your neighbourhood, please don't hesitate to report it to us. Every call is taken seriously and helps us to build up the evidence we need to take action. Information can be reported to the police force online via its web chat service or by calling the non-emergency number 101. Residents can report information anonymously to the independent charity Crime Stoppers online or by calling 0800 555 111.
At just 13 years old, Celine Swinscoe de Jure is making waves in both the ballet and opera worlds. Celine's talents in dance and singing have positioned her as a young performer to watch. This spring, the Berkhamsted-based rising star will take centre stage in two prestigious productions, showcasing her exceptional versatility and dedication. On the 14th and 15th of March, she will perform in English Youth Ballet's Cinderella in Hollywood at Aylesbury Waterside Theatre. Later in the season, from the 28th to the 30th of May, Celine will demonstrate her vocal prowess in Aylesbury Opera Company's Dialogue of the Carmelites at Denby Theatre in Tring. Celine is particularly excited about her role in Cinderella in Hollywood, where she performs in the shoe dance. I really am pleased because we have two dances, one on point, which is a great challenge. The second is a brand new style for me, the Charleston, which is so quirky and happy and fun to learn and dance. Balancing the demands of both ballet and opera is no small feat, but Celine thrives under the challenge. Ballet is physically demanding, with choreography and routines that eventually become muscle memory. That's when it becomes more fun, because the pressure to learn is over, she explains. Opera, on the other hand, is more mentally demanding, with melodies, lyrics and notes that need to be studied and practiced repeatedly. Once learned, it's more enjoyable. Celine encourages young dancers to take a leap of faith and audition for the English Youth Ballet. It doesn't matter whether it's your vocational ambition or just about your love of dance, just go for it and sign up. The audition is not about polished performances, but passion and potential, she says. She fondly describes the experience of being part of English Youth Ballet. You will make new friends, improve your skill set, keep fit, and have so much fun. The costumes are imaginative, glitzy, and gorgeous. I really look forward to the costume fitting day. The show days are so exciting. There's no other feeling like being on stage and seeing lots of smiley faces. If you adore performing, you know what I mean. With such impressive accomplishments at such a young age, the future looks bright for Celine Swinscoe de Jure. Audiences will no doubt be captivated by her performances this season, and her journey is only just beginning.
Over the last 16 months, Dinka Patel, aged 87, has gone from being unable to move from the neck down to regaining some mobility and independence thanks to a tailored program of physiotherapy at his Hemel care home. Dinka has a spinal injury from a fall and now uses a wheelchair. When he moved into Watermill House care home in October 2023, from Stoke Mandeville Hospital, he could only move his head. Dinka said, "Since my fall, I've had to rely on others to be able to move around, but I've now gained enough strength and movement in my hand to enable me to use an electric wheelchair that I can operate myself. It's incredibly motivating to have gained so much independence. I look forward to every physio session." The 65-bed care home on Rose Lane provides expert care to adults with a range of support needs, including rehab following a stroke or amputation, paralysis, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, and Parkinson's, as well as residential nursing, specialist dementia, and end-of-life care. Physiotherapist Danny McKenzie created a personalized program for Dinka that includes seated exercises, neurological exercises, and use of an upper body exercise bike. "When I first met Dinka, his movements were limited and often painful," explained Danny. Home manager Victoria Forsyth added, "Gaining independence when living with Parkinson's or after a spinal cord injury is crucial for maintaining quality of life, self-esteem, and overall well-being. The work that Danny does with Dinka and Craig allow them to participate more actively in their daily lives, make personal decisions, and manage their own care. Watermill House Care Home were finalists in the Dignity in Care category at the East of England Great British Care Awards 2023.
First Bovingdon Scout Group has been awarded £1,000 after being announced as the winner of the recent community chest competition run by Taylor Wimpey North Thames to celebrate the launch of its Bovingdon development, Bovingdon Grange. Residents living in Bovingdon and the surrounding local area were invited to nominate local good causes ahead of the launch of Bovingdon Grange. Once all the entries were considered, Taylor Wimpey awarded First Bovingdon Scout Group with the top prize. The donation will go towards a commercial barbecue for outside catering, which will in turn raise more funds for the Scouts through fundraising events. The Scouts provide exciting activities and skill-building opportunities to young people ages 6 to 14 in the Bovingdon area, and are currently fundraising to continue offering this, as well as a new Scout hut, due to the recent demolition of the previous hut. Ross Dorris, group lead volunteer at First Bovingdon Scout Group, said, "At First Bovingdon Scout Group, we do lots of catering, not just in our camps, but also community events like the Classic Car Show and Family Fun Day, the Christmas Fair, and many more. This grant will help us to get the catering equipment to cope with the increased number of young people in our camps and the high demand we're now getting for catering at community events in Bovingdon." Jason Turner, sales manager for Taylor Wimpey North Thames, said, "We're proud to support First Bovingdon Scout Group. The Scouts give young people the guidance and experiences they need to become more well-rounded individuals. Not only will they make lifelong memories and new friends, but they will also learn and develop skills that'll benefit them from the rest of their lives." Launched in November, Bovingdon Grange is located on the edge of Bovingdon, just 3 miles from Hemel Hempstead, Chesham, and key routes such as the A41, the M1 and the M25. Bovingdon Grange offers a selection of 186 brand new homes, and local shops can be found just 5 minutes away, and the nearby railway station, 3 miles from the development, makes it ideal for commuters.
Tenants are moving into their new homes following the completion of our Mountbatten View development in Hemel Hempstead. The 58 apartments are a mix of one and two bed homes, including 6 wheelchair accessible homes. They feature CCTV, communal parking, and landscaped garden facilities. The site, formerly known as Paradise Fields, was acquired from Homes England. The 3 new blocks are located close to Hemel Hempstead Town Centre and have been designed for energy efficiency with high levels of thermal insulation and heating provided by communal air source heat pumps. Mountbatten View prioritises pedestrian access and provides a variety of spaces for community use, including a formal central garden, play area for families, secure cycle stores, and tree-lined parking courtyards. The development also borders a wildlife area and a woodland walk at the top of the site. Each block has a secure refuse area, and the parking courts feature electric vehicle charging points. The development was built by Bugler Developments Limited.
The popular Decorum Climate Action Network annual event is returning to the Forum, Hemel Hempstead, on Monday the 10th of March from 6:30pm to 9:30pm, with doors opening at 6pm. Featured speakers include me, National Trust, presentation on land management of Ashridge Estate, Rothamsted Research, discussing sustainable food production and how to improve biodiversity on farms, Westbrook Hayes School, pupils and staff will share how they achieved Eco School of the Year status, and many more interesting speakers focused on the theme Nature on the Brink. To book your place, contact the box office 228 209.
Sunday, 9th March, is the day of reflection across the UK for the COVID-19 pandemic, marking 5 years since it began. Residents and communities in Decorum are invited to come together to remember and honour those who lost their lives in ways that feel meaningful to them. A memorial garden has been created in Gatebridge Park, Hemel Hempstead, in memory of residents who lost their lives during the pandemic. The garden features a red leaf copper beech tree planted in October 2021, along with benches and wildflower plantings, offering the community a peaceful space to reflect and remember their loved ones.
The Great British Spring Clean 2025 will take place from the 21st of March to the 6th of April. Decorum Borough Council is encouraging as many people as possible from across Decorum to hit the streets and help clean up our local community. Whether you litter pick with your family, as part of a group from work, or on your own, they will be grateful for every piece of litter that you remove from our natural environment in Decorum. Visit the Community Litter Picks page at decorum.gov.uk to find out how you can support your litter pickers in Decorum.
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by the obituaries, what's on, and any more news. Macular Society News. The vision of the Macular Society is to end macular disease through funding world-class medical research. Everything we fund is aimed at improving the treatment for or quality of life of patients with macular disease. Our research funding over the last 30 plus years has led to outcomes which will make very real differences for people with macular disease now and in the future. Here are two examples. Macular Degeneration Eccentric Viewing Reader is an app for Apple and Android tablets developed in association with the Macular Society by Professor Robin Walker of the Royal Holloway, University of London. The app scrolls text from EPUB documents, such as an e-book, as a single line of scrolling text to support and enhance the use of the eccentric viewing technique used by people with macular degeneration. Second, Manchester Eye Tissue Repository, METR, there is an unmet need for human eye tissue to study AMD, age-related macular degeneration, and learn more about the disease. Human eyes donated for corneal transplant can also be used for research and are a vital untapped resource. However, effective ways to collect and archive this tissue were lacking and it was going to waste. The Macular Society therefore funded the creation of the METR to retrieve the donor eye tissue from the Manchester Eye Bank, which supplies corneas for transplantation. The METR is now well established. It has collected eye tissue from over 1,100 donors and is supplying tissue to research teams across the UK and Europe.
Obituaries. June Winifred Toombs, née Little, who passed away peacefully on 23rd of February 2025, aged 91 years. The funeral service is at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium on Wednesday 12th of March at 11:30 a.m. The family requested no black clothing. Yvonne Walker, who passed away peacefully on 19th of February 2025 in County Durham, aged 91 years. Funeral arrangements to be announced. Contact Moss Funeral Directors, Houghton Le Spring.
Trustee Notices. Pursuant to the Trustee Act 1925, any persons having a claim against or interest in the estate of George Bennison, deceased, late of New Farm, Castle Hill, Berkhamsted, who died on 22nd of August 2024, are requested to send written particulars to Parveen Haynes, care of IBB Law LLP, The Great Barn, Woodlands Court, Burnham Road, Beaconsfield, HP92SF, by 6th of May 2025. A second trustee notice this week. Any persons having a claim against or an interest in the estate of Hilary Smith, deceased, late of 3 Huntingate, Hemel Hempstead, who died on 10th of May 2024, are requested to send written particulars to Debenhams Ottaway LLP of Ivy House, 107 St. Peter Street, St. Albans, AL13EW, by 6th of May 2025.
Now, here's what's on at Cineworld in Hemel Hempstead this week. Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy, a comedy drama. Captain America, Brave New World, an action movie. Dog Man, an animation comedy. The Monkey, a horror film. The Last Showgirl, a drama. Mickey 17, a sci-fi comedy. Marching Powder, a comedy. Mufasa, The Lion King, an action animation. I'm Still Here, a drama. Sonic the Hedgehog 3, an action film. Bonhoeffer, a drama. One of Them Days, a comedy. And Twiggy, a documentary. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
A film at the Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, on Tuesday, 11th March, at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Small Things Like These, Age Certification 12. Gillian Murphy plays Bill Furlong, a coalman in County Wexford in the early 80s, a soft-spoken, thoughtful man who has built up a good business through years of hard work, though money worries are never far away. He is married to Eileen, played by Eileen Walsh, and they have many daughters whose education comes courtesy of the church and whose future weddings will doubtless cause more worry and expense. One Christmas, good-hearted Bill appears to be on the verge of a midlife breakdown. Long submerged memories are rising to the surface. Bill discovers disturbing secrets kept by the local convent and uncovers shocking truths of his own. The church sister, played by Emily Watson, is icily aware that Bill is now in possession of a secret that could damage her. Online bookings only, oldtownhall.co.uk.
Theatre. Kinky Boots, Milton Keynes Theatre, March 11th to 15th. The Broadway and West End phenomenon is strutting back to Milton Keynes in a new production starring Strictly Come Dancing's Johannes Radebe and rising star Dan Partridge. The joy-filled musical with songs by Cyndi Lauper is based on a true story from Northamptonshire. After inheriting his family's failing shoe factory and with a relationship on the rocks, life is proving to be very challenging for Charlie Price. That is until he meets Lola, a drag queen whose sparkle and unsteady heels might just hold the answer to saving the struggling business. Visit atgtickets.co/Milton Keynes to book.
Now for some events at the David Evans Theatre in Tryn. Musical Theatre, Beauty and the Beast Junior on 13th to 15th of March. The classic story tells of Belle, a young woman in a provincial town, and the Beast, who is really a young prince trapped under the spell of an enchantress. If the Beast can learn to love and be loved, the curse will end and he will be transformed to his former self. But time is running out. A tale as old as time, based on the Disney movie and the Broadway show. A talented youth theatre production, which includes a live band and a cast of 50-plus local children. For more information and to book, go online at dembetheatre.org. Tickets will cost from £13. Tryn Performing Arts Trust presents Murder is Addressed on 20th to 22nd of March. It is 1963 and friends Trixie and Hyacinth have set up their own dressmaking studio. With their good friend Frances introducing her contacts to them, their business starts to take off. But an investor could really help, and so they turn to their old employer to assist them. What is it then that goes so wrong that someone is murdered? At the end of Act 1, guests will be able to work as teams at their table to make their first guess as to who the murderer is. At the end of Act 2, there's a final chance to guess who done it and why. The format of the show is to sit back and enjoy a full-length play without mixing with the cast or asking any questions. The team with the most points wins a prize. For more information and to book, go online at dembetheatre.org. Tickets cost from £16.50.
and now a theatre in Hemel Hempstead. Get ready for an evening of hilarity and wit as Hemel Hempstead Theatre Company presents Alan Ayckbourn's timeless comedy Bedroom Farce next month, the first production in the company's centenary year. The production will run from the 26th to the 29th of March at the Boxmoor Playhouse, promising laughter, relatable chaos, and masterful storytelling. Bedroom Farce explores the trials and tribulations of relationships through the lives of four couples over one turbulent evening. Set in three separate bedrooms, the play combines slapstick comedy with moments of genuine emotion in an intimate look at the complexities of marriage. Directed by Mariam Gabala-Gill, this production of Bedroom Farce showcases the impressive talents of local actors who bring Ayckbourn's characters to life with energy and authenticity. Mariam said, "We're thrilled to bring this brilliant play to our community and provide an evening of entertainment that resonates with audiences. I've appeared in it myself and remember it was fun to work with some really interesting characters, although fitting three bedrooms on stage has proved somewhat of a challenge." Although it's set in the 1970s, with Ayckbourn poking fun at stereotypes of the time, it's still very relevant today. Come and enjoy a bit of escapism, which makes you think about how ridiculous relationships can be. Hemel Hempstead Theatre Company is known for its commitment to high-quality amateur theatre, fostering local talent and providing quality, affordable entertainment for audiences. This latest production is no exception, combining clever set design, dynamic performances, and a classic script to create an unforgettable evening at the theatre. Tickets for Bedroom Farce are now available and can be purchased online at hhtheatreco.com or by calling 0333 666 3366. They will be available from £12 to £18, with concessions available for certain performances.
Music. Tring Jazz Jam at the King's Arms, Thursday, 13th March at 7:30 p.m. Contact zebrajazz@hotmail.com. At Dean's Hall, Berkhamsted School, on Saturday, 15th March at 7:30 p.m, the symphonic concert play Elgar's well-known cello concerto in E minor, Tchaikovsky Symphony No. 5. Contact bridgewater-sinfonia.org.uk. At Berkhamsted Civic Centre on Saturday, 15th March at 7:30 to 9:30 p.m, Fitzroy String Quartet play Haydn Quartet No. 62, Elizabeth McConchie Quartet No. 4, and Beethoven Quartet No. 9. Contact berkhamstedmusic.co.uk. And Berkhamsted Choral Society Come and Sing Workshop. They will be singing Mozart's Requiem at St. Peter's Church, Berkhamsted, from 9:30 a.m. to 4:15 p.m. with an informal free concert at 3:30 p.m. Contact ticketpass.org/event/EEJXFS for tickets and more information.
Comedy. Advance notice of two events at the Old Town Hall in Hemel as these dates get booked up early. Michael Akadiri in Trust Me, I'm a Daddy on Sunday the 6th of April 2025 at 8 p.m. at the Old Town Hall, the Old Town Hall High Street, Hemel Hempstead, HP1 3AE. Following his biggest awarding comedy nominated debut and subsequent hit tour, multi-award winning comedian and junior doctor Michael Akadiri arrives in Hemel Hempstead, and now he's thrown parenting into the mix too. Online bookings only, oldtownhall.co.uk. Theatre. Come along for a fun, funny and fast-paced romp through the masterpieces of Jane Austen, with the complete works of Jane Austen abridged. Three nimble actors take on all of Austen's beloved heroines, friends and love interests and her incisive social satire in just 80 minutes. On Saturday, 19th of April at 8 p.m. Online bookings only, oldtownhall.co.uk.
Market dates for your diary. Tring Farmers Market on this Saturday, 8th of March, High Street, train 9 a.m. to 12:30. Berkhamsted Farmers Market on next Sunday, 16th of March, High Street, Berkhamsted, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Now, can you give a cat a home? Cookie is approximately 2 years old, black and white, and is a stunner. She enjoys chasing dangly toys and is quite partial to catnip toys. She really enjoys strokes, loves belly rubs and a spot of sunbathing when she can find the rays. Cookie will sit with you for a fuss and a cuddle, and she's a people person. She is very gentle and would be happy in a family environment where someone could be around for her in the day or part of the day. She'll love access to a garden away from main through roads once she has had her settling in period. She would be happier as the only pet. For more details, contact the Cats Protection, Hemel Hempstead and Berkhamsted branch via cats.org.uk/decorum or by phone at 03453 711851.
A letter from Councillor Richard Roberts, Leader of the Council. Earlier this week, the most important full council meeting of the year took place. After much hard work from officers and cabinet colleagues, we were able to present our budget proposals for debate by councillors who represent our great county. Our budget was passed by a majority, which means that from April we will be spending over £1 billion on the services we know residents and business want us to provide. From keeping the county moving to caring for those children, young people and adults who most need our support, we will continue our work to deliver the best possible support and services for the 1.2 million people who call Hertfordshire home. Next financial year will see £100 million of additional investment, allowing us to continue the improvements already seen in services for children with special educational needs and disabilities, SEND. Additional spending on highways repairs and over £500 million spent on vital care services. It is no secret that our finances remain stretched, and with the external economic outlook remaining uncertain, we have had to take the difficult decision to raise council tax by 4.99%. We will do everything we can to continue to drive down our own internal costs to keep our tax burden on you as low as possible.
County councillors have agreed a £1.18 billion budget for the provision of council services in 2025-26 that will see council tax bills in the county rise by 4.99%. Social care, children's services, highways, waste disposal and public health are among the services provided by the county council. And on Tuesday, 25th February, a meeting of the County Council determined how funds should be allocated. The proposals backed at the meeting by the Council's Conservative majority included £527.3 million to be allocated to adult care services and £289.2 million to children's services. They included £100.8 million to be allocated for community protection, which includes the fire service, public health and trading standards, and £137.7 million to be allocated to growth and environment, which includes waste disposal. The agreed budget, also referred to as the Integrated Plan or IP, will also require the council to make £42 million of savings.
To continue, and it includes a 4.99% increase in the county council element of council tax, equivalent to an extra £84.12 a year for a Band D property. Presenting the Conservative budget, Executive Member for Resources and Performance, Councillor Bob Deering, said that the financial climate in which the council operated was getting harder and harder. He pointed to national insurance increases that he said would cost the council more than £20 million, as well as the government's decision to deflect some funding to other parts of the country. But nevertheless, he said the budget would maintain the council's record of delivering a balanced budget, continuous transformation and increased efficiency and maintaining frontline services for residents. And it would, he said, deliver 128 million of additional investment to protect, maintain and improve the services that we provide the residents of Hertfordshire.
Herts County Council have been shortlisted in the Children's Services category in the prestigious Local Government Chronicle Awards 2025 for their Workforce Transformation Programme, Making Send Everyone's Business, and their innovative induction and training programme, the Hertfordshire Send Academy. The winners will be announced on Wednesday, the 11th of June.
Do you live, work, visit or travel through Hemel, Tring or Berkhamsted? Herts County Council need your feedback on the latest proposals for cycling and walking infrastructure in the Decorum area. They are working with Decorum Borough Council to engage with as many residents and local businesses as possible to give their feedback on improvements to key walking and cycling routes. To provide your feedback, please fill out the consultation published on the 25th of February at hertfordshire.gov.uk. Take part in the survey by 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, 23rd March.
Basketball news. Hemel Storm responded to their first defeat of the league season with a thrilling 92-97 win against MK Breakers. It really was a win to savour in the face of the hostile environment posed by Bletchley's Leisure Centre and without leading scorer Matt Ellis due to concussion. Trent Monkman produced his finest effort in a Storm shirt to date to propel his side over the line in a tight finish after they saw the lead they'd earlier established with a rapid start dissipate. His 35 points helped make up the load left by the absence of fellow Canadian Ellis and silenced the rowdy home crowd. It was a physical affair, as expected, and Monkman had to battle for every single one of his points. He displayed his characteristic tenacity and valuable ability to finish under an intense level of contact, coming up with some big moments down the stretch and holding his nerve at the free throw line. An early bombardment of long-range shooting saw Storm edge out in front with Darren Nelson-Henry, Monkman and Sam Newman cashing in with consecutive three-pointers for the visitors. A remarkable 20-0 run from Storm stretched their advantage to 19 with little over 5 minutes played. It reached a game-high 21 moments before the first quarter buzzer sounded, and the guests led 13-30 at the first break. Nelson Henry has been ever so important for the league leaders this year, and so it proved again here, wrestling with another former BBL man in Chris Tawire under the basket, who won the battle and claimed a 19-point double-double. Hakeem Silla made his first start since returning from injury, and he helped his side come out on top in the vital rebound counter with 9 in 23 minutes as he continues to make great strides in increasing his time on the floor. It was an affair that required a steady head and a calming presence, and Storm's captain Sam Newman provided that. Despite facing foul trouble, he came up with numerous triples at key junctures, and his 10 assists further asserted his status as the league's best in that regard. Storm didn't panic and worked efficiently to get themselves back within touching distance. An 11-point run did exactly that, and with the atmosphere now raucous, Monkman came to life. A pair of free throws were followed by a converted and one attempt and a long-range hit to put his side five up with just a few minutes remaining. Storm held their nerve and ran the clock down smartly, eventually claiming a 92-97 win with massive implications for the remainder of their season.
Hemel Hempstead Town Football News. Lee Allinson was again full of praise for his Hemel Hempstead Town side after they saw off Tunbridge Angels 2-0 on Saturday. It's now 6 games unbeaten for the Tudors as they continue to impress since his arrival earlier in the season, now in 15th place, but only 3 points off a top 10 spot ahead of the midweek games in which they don't feature. Instead, Hemel were due to host Leverstock Green in the Hearts Senior Cup quarterfinal, played after this week's Gazette went to press. Saturday's win came courtesy of second-half strikes from Ben Tompkins and sub Miller Matthews-Lewis, that coming after a delayed kickoff due to several of Hemel's squad being delayed due to traffic problems on the M25, leaving Allinson delighted when he spoke to the club's media after the game. He said, "First of all, thanks go to Tunbridge for allowing us to delay the kickoff, as five of our lads turned up at 2:50, so we're grateful, as they could have been stubborn and made us start at 3 p.m. I thought we started really well with some great passing patterns and good things that we'd worked on, but then we stopped doing that and struggled to find an end product. I said to the boys, if we carried on like that, then Tunbridge would beat us, as I thought they were better than us in the last 20 minutes of the first half. But we've come out brilliantly again in the second half and done everything I've asked for. We were on the front foot, pressed extremely hard, and I felt we were worthy winners in the end. You're not going to be fluent and free-flowing every week, and it's how you come out of those games. And at the moment, touch wood, we're coming out of it with some wins. Hemel now prepare for two games in 48 hours against sides just above them in the league, as they go to Hampton and Richmond on Saturday and then welcome Hornchurch on Monday night."
We're coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 6:34 a.m. and 17:54. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, a useful list of phone numbers for services and amenities follow after the final music. Then please return the stick to us in the pouch provided and check the pouch is securely sealed. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Mike, who is your technician this week.